These and these baddies, man, they're fucking up my focus. They're fighting at the front, my crib, they're causing me commotion. Oh, your album just came out, we didn't even notice. Smoking on my Cali weed, this XB Aladocious. Camden Town, we run this town and everybody knows it. 2017, I had to boss up on my grown shit. 616, I keep a hit, I'm always locked and loaded. I'm chilling with my feet up, you see the Prada loading. Last year, I took an L, pick it up and carry on. Really roll another L.
What's going on, everyone? This is episode 47 of High Top Flip Flops. As always, this is Krish. I'm with Navik. Navik just ran a 10-kilometer running race in Toronto. He's officially joined Running Gang out here. How are you feeling after that one?
You know what? It's not that much, is what I realized when I ran the race. But prior to the race, I was like, oh man, this is a lot. That's train heavy. No, you don't have to train. If you're a first-time runner, just go do it. If it's a 10K, go do it.
Just run the race.
Get up off the couch and do it.
Oh, wow.
That's what I say when you're trying to run and you're trying to get out there and exercise. Get up, go do it.
Man, it sounds like you watched a lot of Gary Vaynerchuk videos before running this race.
None at all, but I don't notice or get the hate, maybe because I don't watch enough of his stuff, but everybody hates on him.
Yeah,
probably because,
yeah, I hate on him for sure.
You hate on him for sure?
Definitely.
Is it because he just says, hey, why aren't you doing this, just simply do it, you know?
I hate on him, one, for the obnoxiousness. That's like one. I'm pretty sure he said a good friend of ours, Amit, I'm pretty sure showed me that he's like, in like an Instagram post, he said something like, I create culture, which is the funniest thing, which is absolutely the funniest thing.
Gary B is the father of culture. He created this.
Yeah, exactly. Just know that like Off-White wouldn't exist without Gary Vaynerchuk, you know?
Rap music would not exist
without Gary Vaynerchuk.
Without Gary V. That good old boy from Brooklyn, probably.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what he probably emphasizes.
Yeah, I don't
from
even...
From Brooklyn.
I wonder where he's from. I know that his dad, it was a pretty successful and wealthy winery owner, like wine estate owner. And his like first rise to prominence was playing like a big part in building like the brand and building this like this company. If I have my numbers correct, I'm not going to give Gary Vee much more time on this episode, but if I have my numbers correct, he like brought this like winery from having like a $1 million valuation to like close to $60 million or something like that, exclusively through like the branding and marketing side of things. Wow. Could be wrong, but either way, that is his claim to fame. Yeah, there's a bunch of things that like I don't like about him. It starts with his obnoxiousness, but either way, we don't need to give more negative energy to this guy. Navik and I are planning to run the Scotiabank Half Marathon in Toronto at some point in September. We haven't looked at the dates yet, but if there's anyone out there who wants to run this one with us, we have a couple pals who are going to run it with us. If there's anyone out there in the Toronto area who wants to run this with us, maybe want to start a little run club for people who are struggling to get off the couch, like Navik and I, let's start a run club.
Listen, this is for people who hate walking.
Yeah.
I want to emphasize this again. If you hate walking,
you hate running,
join this club.
Exactly.
No, we don't like walkers. You gotta like running.
Oh, I thought this was like, you know, very entry level. No, never mind.
Oh, okay. No, we're fast. We're speedsters. We're very fast.
Speedsters,
so if you can't catch up, you better take a seat.
What are perks of joining this club, though? We get ice cream after every run session. That's one.
Yes.
What are some other perks?
We also have full steak dinner.
Every night.
At the Keg.
Every night.
Every night, a full 24-ounce steak dinner. at the keg. Please, please pack your dress shirt and jeans and dress shoes. Please bring jeans.
That's right. But actually, though, idea of like a walking club slash running club is like something I've very much thought about a fair bit. Because I think it'd be kind of fun, especially if it was a, okay, I think like entry-level walking club, you just go out, you just walk with people, you go have a chat, especially in the warm weather, you enjoy some sunshine, maybe a little breeze. Maybe we strategically time it to go walk down by some water where it's nice and calm and, you know, it's just by the water. It's great. So let us know. Should we start a walking club slash running club? Or should we just add this to the list of all the other great ideas that we have that we don't follow through on? Please let us know. CuriousCat.me/hotdogflipflops. DM Navek and I over our Instagrams. Do you still use Twitter?
I do from time to time.
Okay.
Yeah. I stepped away because it got too serious. You know, there was a lot of serious stuff, as there should be.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I couldn't add to the conversation. Like, people would be talking about, oh, there's children in cages. And I'd be like, hey, you ever find it weird that when kids go outside, they have all this fun, but when you're an adult, you just wash your car a lot? And I just know that that's not the right
time. Your consciousness stepped in, yeah. Fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah, me too. I'm also not on Twitter anymore, but we still use our Instagrams. So let us know if we should start a walking club slash running club. Any of you would join this. Obviously, unfortunately, this is exclusive to people from the Toronto slash GTA area. But we're still down to do it. You know, maybe it becomes a big enough thing. Maybe we take it worldwide. We do a walking tour.
Whoa.
We walk state to state, province to province. Just kidding. We're going to take the train or fly. Because that's some crazy shit. We have to hit our guests with the first segment of the show, Just One Thing, unofficially sponsored by Amory. I'm going to let Navek go in on the first thing.
Do I ask you something or do I just say one thing?
Just like all of our other segments, the rules are very loose.
So there's no boundaries.
There is no boundaries. This segment could just become another one of our segments, is what I'm trying to say. But no, tell me one thing that's been on your mind, one thing that you've been thinking about wanting to get off your chest, maybe.
Oh, I've been listening to Daytona a lot. You pushed the album. And it's still great.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me want to do something.
Okay.
It makes me want to move. Gives me confidence.
Yeah.
When I'm walking down the street and I'm listening to that, I feel confident. You know, I feel good.
Yeah.
And great project, no misses, no fluff, straight to the point.
And do you feel that way about all of the other Kanye projects, Kanye produced slash, you know, executive produced projects thus far? So now we have Ye, we have Kid Seagos, and we also have Nasir. Is that the name of the album? Mm-hmm.
I definitely feel that way about Kid Seagos. I think that's a flawless album as well. I do like Ye. I understand why people would not like it. A lot of people that I've spoken to about these albums, they do enjoy Kid Seagos and the Push album. But online, I'm seeing a lot of hate. And that's because, you know, of Kanye's prior antics.
Right.
And because of those antics, it clouds their judgment to the point where they're like, you know, they automatically write it off and say it's shit or it's bad. You can't say that production's bad, though. Mm. You cannot. I don't... That's one thing that's undeniable. What about yourself? What's one thing?
What is one thing? Right. My one thing is that potentially or particularly as two straight men who sit in this room, knowing that it's Pride Month all over the world. It's pretty important slash pivotal time to, you know, think about ways that that we can be supportive. You know, I mean, to take it one step further as two people of color as well, probably worth considering how we can be supportive to, you know, people of the LGBTQ community who are also people of color as well. You know, a lot of kind of extended barriers or boundaries that get placed up around people, you know, who come from different parts of the world where, you know, their support systems or general kind of communities might not share the same perspectives as them or share as welcoming perspectives. So Navik and I thought it would be a good idea to find some constructive suggestions as to how we, and potentially anyone else listening, can be allies to queer people of color.
Well, I just got to say that realistically in this world, there shouldn't be a pride, realistically, because people of the LGBTQ community are human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're human beings, we should treat them like human beings.
Easy peasy.
But we're obviously, straight people are awful. And, you know, I've treated them terribly over, I don't even know how many years. It's been
since the beginning of time, yeah.
Yeah, beginning of time. Ever, since ever. And so that's why they need this. And I remember, like, a friend of mine, his mom actually took him to Pride at a young age. Mm-hmm. And he's been going since. Straight person. And also, I guess that's another conversation. Should straight people even go
to Pride? Very good point.
Because I went last year, thinking about going this year.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, you know, it's not like a time to observe how this community lives. It's just, in my point of view, it's just appreciation. Mm-hmm. And just to be there. But I totally understand if people of that community are like, yeah, this is not a time for straight people.
Yeah, of course. Oftentimes that is kind of like a deterrent, or like, you know, as you said, one of the reasons why the month exists, right? For at least, you know, 30 days where anyone who's not straight, not cisgendered, has like the opportunity to like celebrate their existence and the existence of their peers who share such, you know, similar and or varying experiences in this world. Some of the suggestions made for potentially being an ally to queer people of color, we have this one list from campuspride.org. There are a couple here that I think are really good. Don't apologize for your privilege or guilt. And don't thank anyone for sharing what people of color folks have known to be true for years. That's a kind of like a tricky one for a lot of people. I think oftentimes dealing with your own kind of insecurities or dealing with like your own doubts or kind of shortcomings can be tricky. But the key is to kind of realize your stance, realize the privileges or biases that you may have, and work towards dismantling them, right, on like a day-to-day basis. Another one here is, don't just know who's missing from the room. Invite those folks to create the space with you. I think that one's a really big one, particularly even in Toronto here, and like a nightlife scene, is like creating an inclusive space where trans folk or queer folk in general actually feel like they're welcome. There's like a difference between labeling something as like a place that's actually welcome for everyone and not having that paradigm shared by everyone in the room, right? Those are two really good ones. A couple other ones that we've seen here from Mashable.com. This is from an article titled 7 Ways to Be Better Ally to Transgender Women of Color. One of the reoccurring ones here is always listen. And while I think that is a super important one, I would hope that it's a given to listen and not overtake a conversation, you know, or like an opportunity where someone is sharing with you or being vulnerable with you. Educate yourself is always on these lists as well. Again, sometimes a trickier one because people can kind of be overwhelmed as to where to start. But if I can prove as an example, or if Navik and I can prove as an example, all we did was simply Google how to be an ally. That was our starting point. While that might be a very entry level, it's still a good place to potentially start. The last big one that is still from this Mashable article, which we'll share, is to risk your privilege to clear space. And essentially what I think this kind of comes down to is understanding that being an ally isn't always going to be about, or isn't going to mean that you can stay comfortable throughout the process. And it will kind of involve you entering uncomfortable spaces. Perhaps, as Navik said, as like observing a pride parade or like going into the city for a pride-based event and experiencing what it's like to be the minority in a situation, right? it builds empathy, I think, is a really important consequence of risking your privilege. And that could also mean, you know, disagreeing in like a group setting with someone who, for example, decides to say something like no homo, you know, small things like these that kind of add up to you making a part of your daily routine, to combat ideas of transphobia and homophobia. So these are just a couple of really, really great points that we found out here. And obviously it's a good place for people like Navek and I to kind of work on becoming better allies or better support for people from the community. And we hope anyone who is celebrating Pride, you know, all over the world here is embracing, you know, the opportunity to celebrate your queerness. But something that I've also very recently taken in by a poet recently found them. Their name is Alok, and I very recently found them on Instagram. But something they said was that, you know, on one hand, you know, it's great to celebrate this month, but it's also a good month to mourn all of the deaths that still occur every year. All of the like inequality gaps that still happen in like the workplace. You know, it very much still is a month of mourning on top of a month of celebrating. And it's very, very much important or very much worth seeing both sides of the coin, which is, yeah, a very tough thing to do, but always a key sign that there's more work and more work and more work and more work to do, particularly from people who aren't on the oppression side of things, you know? Anyways, that was our... That was our Just One Thing segment. The interview that we have lined up for this week is a super, super fun interview with our new homie, Hamda Warsame. Hamda is a multi-talented graphic designer and artist. If I'm not mistaken, I think she also makes some mixes on SoundCloud, which you might have to plug here. But you should go to her website right now while you're listening to this and check out a lot of her work at hamwars.com, hamwarz.com, where hopefully very soon you'll be able to buy a lot of our artwork. Navek and I still don't really know how to actually describe our artwork, but take a look for yourself on her website or her Instagram at hamwarz, hamwarz. This was a really great chat because Hamda's on the same exact plane that Navek and I are about music, and we got to talk a lot about music, a lot of the new albums that very recently came out. We talk about Smoking Backwoods, which is pretty fantastic, and more just about Hamda's work process, some of the design tools that she likes to use, and what we can expect from her in the upcoming year. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. This is episode 47 with Hamda Warsame.
Real quick, before we begin, we are recording in a random classroom in Ryerson University, and the room next to us, there's a single guy watching X Factor on a projector. Now, the last time I was into X Factor was 2008. That was the last time. It was interesting. Maybe 2010. After that, I was like, yeah, I'm good on talent competitions because there are about 16 of them. Now, my guy, I don't want to give him a name. Let's say his name is Jack or something, probably. He's in the center of the room. Very intrigued by what Simon Cowell is saying about probably his 800th singer that he's seen that might win and will get no coverage whatsoever. I'm not trying to be on the negative wave here, Jack, because I'm trying to be on the very positive wave as of this year. So actually, no respect towards you for doing that whatsoever. Very angry because we could have used that room, but we did find a room, thankfully.
We did find a room.
And if a guard security comes up here, we are snitching on you first. It's perfectly fine to snitch. No, it isn't, but in this case it is. Now we'll start the podcast. Okay.
What's going on, everyone? This is episode 47 of High Top Flip Flops. It is I, Krish, aka Chris, aka not Chris, aka the Thelma Hemingway, aka Lil Poopy Dirt, aka Bash Me Outside because I don't fight, I just get beat up, aka Mr. Day Girl with you, aka Dr. Do Too Little, aka it's not you, it's not me, we're just going through a tough time right now. I'm with my main man, Navek.
Hey, it's Naveek, a.k.a. Naveep, a.k.a. Mr. Run Up to Your Girl, Say Hello, Then Run Away, a.k.a. the Tamil Tyrese, a.k.a. Young Couch. And you know what? Before I was thinking about my AKAs, I was like, a lot of my AKAs I can't do anymore. Because they're all bad people. So I used to say I'm Aziz Bansari. And I used to say I was, I think I had another one with R. Kelly that I forgot. But that's
that one's long gone. Yeah,
that is definitely gone.
We cleaned that shit with the Lysol.
Put him in jail, lock away, and lose the key.
Swallow the key. Is that what they say?
Actually, don't swallow
the key. Don't swallow the key, okay.
To the kids, because I know we have some 13-year-olds listening, do not swallow keys. Definitely do not, because you will die. For sure. But we have a great guest.
We have a super great guest today by the name of Hamda Warsame. Is that how you pronounce your last name?
Yes.
Wow.
You're correct.
Wow, we got very lucky, man. I just got super lucky with that one. Hamda is a very talented artist, a graphic designer, and just generally speaking, a multi-talented human. So thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
We're really excited for this one just because we have so much to kind of ask you about. Not only art and, you know, what you kind of want to get going, but just about your background and what you've kind of learned along the way. Because we also kind of found out that you have like a unique story to share about how things kind of started getting rolling for you with your artwork. But we'll start with your kind of artist moniker name, which we believe is Hamwars. Is that how you pronounce it?
Okay. Yeah, most people just Hamwars. That's what I get normally.
Okay. Okay.
Because no one knows how to pronounce my name.
Yeah, because no one tries. Yeah.
Well, first of all, can I do the substitute teacher pronunciation of your full name?
Oh my God, please.
It's probably going to be Hamda Warsame. Is that it?
Yes.
100%.
Wow. Because
your name sounds, it's great when somebody pronounces it correctly, but oh my goodness, they can destroy it.
Oh, yeah.
That was perfect. Hamda Warsame.
Warsame.
Oh God, that's terrible. Don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that. So at what point in time did you kind of take on this name? Obviously, it's an abbreviation of your first name and last name here, but is it something that you always kind of imagined wanting to be your artist name from like a young age? Did you ever think that like, oh man, I'm going to have this like cool ass artist name, and it just like didn't manifest and you chose Hamwars instead?
Actually, I just went and changed my Instagram name.
Okay.
That's how it went. Before I was doing the art, I just went and changed it. I was like, oh, that's funny. But yeah, it was an accident.
Okay, that's okay.
And now we're here.
Yeah,
I don't know
that's
if
right.
It'll still be here in like a year. We'll see.
That's okay. You know, we're ever changing.
Exactly.
That's just the only thing that we need to know. But regardless, you know, the art and the kind of intention to still put out more creative work is there. It's all that matters. Whatever. We can change our names. You can become, you forgot your one AKA, Tukak Shapur.
Oh, jeez. Tukak Shapur.
That's right.
Which, you know, is that wrong at all?
Is it wrong at all? You're just changing one letter from Shakur and Tupac. You're just switching the P and the K, man. That's all it is.
As long as I'm not disrespecting, you
what
know.
Is Tupac Shapur?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, it's good.
As long as I'm not disrespecting Tupac.
Never.
Nah.
Never.
No,
didn't you also say you were the Tupac of Scarborough at one point in time?
Oh my God.
Story for another day. Story for another day.
That's a great Instagram caption. I'm the Tupac of Scarborough. I don't know if anyone will even fight me on that. But like, yeah, I mean, nobody cares.
One cares. You don't even rap. this is a tangent, but that's okay. Thank you for that, Tupac. Heart. Hamda, you very much have a unique style of art that
thank
I think
you.
Both Naveek and I have tried to articulate to other people.
Oh my God.
But it's very difficult for us to do so, to describe your artwork to someone. So we're kind of curious to know from your perspective, how do you describe your art to people, or particularly the style in which that you present it?
I just call it digital art.
Okay.
That's all I call it, but I haven't even like coined a term for it.
Fair.
I don't know. I didn't even realize I had a style until like my family members were like, oh, look, you like it did something
right
over there. And I was like, oh, yeah. True.
Do you feel like that first point of validation came from family? Was it family that kind of were the first people to see
it? Friends first, because okay. I was in Waterloo.
Right.
And they were the ones that were like, keep going. Like,
right.
Yeah. And then I like wouldn't sleep, wouldn't go to class, wouldn't eat. Would just like, there was a point in October where I was just doing art. Like, from,
holy cow.
Yeah. And I think I made like probably around like 10 pieces in 1 week.
Wow.
And then I stopped and resumed my life.
Yeah. Everything else is like, yeah, had to kind of take place from there.
It was It was a rough week. It was fun though. It was really fun.
Yeah, are you okay. Self-taught?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but wow. I'm in school for like digital media and business, okay. Or I was in school for that. Right. So, like, except they didn't really teach me anything. They like showed me what Illustrator was, but when it came to the pen tool, they were like,